Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast where we prefer Marvin Jones to Golden Tate. man, how about that game, boy? Packers, you know, Brett Hundley looks okay. He could actually probably be a quarterback somewhere else. It's just not a good situation in Green Bay for those guys. Honestly, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle. The defense is fine, but they're not going to be able to create on offense. It's a problem. Anyway, enough about football. We're going to be talking football later. I promised a Tuesday breakdown, kind of to my own dismay. But this is a good slate, and I want to jump in there. Before we do that, I want to go back through some of the things from last night. We used to do this last year during NBA. I want to just kind of recap a couple of things. So let's look back at last night and what happened there. One of these nights. So aside from it being an unbelievably ugly, gross slate, there's a couple things that I think are key takeaways. And it all starts with Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, you know, like he seemed to be in just a smash spot, the way that they were allowing front court scoring, the Golden State rebounding rate, coming off that huge game in L.A., and Spoelstra benches him. There's a reason that there are certain guys that you simply can't trust, and he certainly falls into that category. Okay, no doubt about it. He falls into that category, and it's a combination of, you know, just the work ethic type thing, and you know the tendency to not show up. And Spoelstra knows that about him, but more importantly, I think it's the variance in his outcomes. Right, when we're looking to build cash game lineups, guys, you have to target players who are consistently doing the same thing. And I think for me, the easiest way that you can see that, is minutes and shot attempts. Minutes and shot attempts as well. I mean, peripherals are a little bit harder to project, but minutes and shot attempts are pretty easy to project. That's where the baseline of what you need to be focused on. You know, and I think we can't necessarily say that it was, you know, this was what failed us with the Whiteside projection. What failed us with the Whiteside projection was Whiteside. And there are certain players that you simply can't trust in teams that you can't trust, which kind of leads me to the next point about the Hawks-Celtics game. What I think is really interesting about this Hawks-Celtics game, and it seemed like it was going to be really lopsided. Hawks stay in it all the way through four quarters, force the Celtics starters to stay out there. And you see, for the first time in a while, you see some pretty solid backcourt scoring allowed. Marco Bellinelli has a really big game. Dwayne Dedmon had a big game against them, although that's not backcourt scoring. Marco Bellinelli, DeAndre Bembry had an interesting game. So it's point being is that what you have in that situation is you have a team in Atlanta that is like well-coached, well-disciplined, not terrible, you know, defensively, and got a bunch of guys back healthy. And I think that once this was something that I started to pore over in my mind was, wait a second. Okay. We just noticed that Bellinelli is back. They had a couple other guys come back off of injury, and those kinds of little moments, those things that you see right before lock, those are the kinds of things that kind of make you take pause. And one of the moves that I made actually was, when I saw that, was, okay, wait a second. John Collins right now, yes, there's going to be minutes there, but I know for a fact that this is a bad defensive matchup. Boston, very, very good defensively. Got a rookie here. One small pivot that I made was I threw half of my cash lineup over to Jason Tatum rather than John Collins at that last second. And I was doing it at the last second because I said, you know what? I know for a fact that at the minimum, the Celtics offense is more effective than the Hawks defense. That's just kind of a baseline just from an efficiency standpoint. This is the better team. And Tatum was the beneficiary there. Collins really, really struggled. Tatum went off. And why did he go off? He didn't go off necessarily because he's a better player, although he is a better pedigree of player. He has a better situation on his team. on a better team, getting more minutes, and Marcus Morris was out. Those kinds of little things, you kind of have to pay attention to those small details, and it was really pretty big difference ultimately, because we all saw what John Collins wasn't able to do. And then, you know, the kind of the similar thing goes for Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler was a good play. He was a great value. We talked about how he's there. You know, you could go, well, Alex Len outplayed him. Why did Alex Len outplay him? Well, could we have projected that? Not necessarily from a minutes perspective, but I think from Alex Len's perspective, you know that he's been getting or splitting minutes with Tyson Chandler, and he's younger. He's more effective in this at this stage in his career. Perhaps the coach seems to like him and trust him. So there's kind of little minutia in some of these details that just make sure you're paying attention and, you know, thinking about it. You're not always going to be able to project that Hassan Whiteside, you know, has to take a seat and John Collins can't get a rebound. But, you know, those kinds of things matter. And the last point, guys, I hope you remember, like, this is a starting point. The podcast is a starting point, building point, a good idea to get you started. Use your gut instinct. Trust your own process. Build in the way that you feel comfortable, because every single DFS player is different. We're all different, and you have to make sure that you do it your own way. Anyway, all right, that's enough about that. Let's move over to Vegas and see what we got on tap for tonight. Right, Dallas at Washington, 213 total in this one. Washington, 10-point home favorites here. John Wall was questionable with a shoulder. He is probable now. He's been upgraded to probable. Dallas, not a very good defensive team, but a very slow team. They're bottom five in defensive efficiency. Washington not playing that well either. If we want to go to this game, you know, the thing about Washington is they allow more scoring than you want, than they should, because their defense just has not been that effective, although this feels like a good spot for them to get on track here after a nice win in Toronto. There's some plays from here. There's some plays in this game, but not a game that I'm going to concentrate a lot of my efforts on. Milwaukee at Cleveland, 219 total. This one has jumped. It opened at 217, jumped to 219. Cleveland favored by 4.5 on this one, 112. They're implied for 112 points to 107. Milwaukee's backcourt defense, pretty bad. Pretty bad defense that they have in the backcourt. Obviously, Giannis creates a problem, but the backcourt defense for the Bucks, not very good. They have not been a phenomenal defensive team. They've allowed a ton of defensive rebounding. It seems like a very interesting spot for Kevin Love. From a rebounding perspective, just because he's probably going to be back at center, and he's really pretty cheap. He was sick over the weekend. Seems like an interesting spot. We'll talk about Giannis versus Bron. And listen, this is a good time for me to talk about this Bucks Bledsoe to the Bucks trade. First of all, the Suns are just out-sunsing themselves. Just, they're already planning for the future again. Like, they are like, well, you know, we're just going to continue to invest in the future of this team and invest in our youth. They get rid of Bledsoe, makes sense, fine. He wanted to leave years ago. I mean, he wanted to leave 2 years ago, and they refused to move him. It's just stupid. They could have gotten a lot more for him. They could have re-upped on the same timeline and had more draft picks. If they wanted to get picks for him, they could have gotten picks for him, you know, 2 summers ago, and had guys on the same timeline now as Jackson and Warren and Bledsoe, or excuse me, and Booker. Didn't do that. They're idiots. It's the most poorly managed team in the NBA, no doubt about it. Okay. That said, the notion that this, I've seen some people saying, I don't know if I like this trade for the Bucks. The idea that adding another, like, substantial creator on this team isn't a good move is 100% incorrect. I think that we rely on the idea that these guys who are high-usage players off the dribble are only good when they have the ball in their hands and they're able to be high-usage players off the dribble. They're high-usage players off the dribble because there's no one else on their team to distribute. You don't think Kevin Durant and Steph Curry could be high-usage players off the dribble? They play together. Kyrie and LeBron, they play together. It's not a situation where you have to have a perfect balance Is it true that they're going to both want to do the same thing and get to the rim? Yes, but you know what? Chris Middleton's value will probably increase as a spot-up shooter, which he's phenomenal at. And it doesn't mean that Eric Bledsoe can't shoot the three. And in fact, and I looked up the numbers. In 2016, his best three-point shooting percentage came from spot-ups. Everybody's like, well, he's not really a spot-up shooter. Well, how much has he been asked to be a spot-up shooter in Phoenix? He's been asked to be the primary creator. And all of a sudden, now you have one of the best primary creators, guy who gets to the paint in Giannis, and Bledsoe may be able to take three or four threes sitting outside of the paint. He's never been asked to do that. So I don't think we can jump to conclusions that he's better with the ball in his hands and this doesn't make sense. It makes sense. I think it makes sense. You need someone else who can create off the dribble, who adds energy to this offense. And as much as I like Malcolm Brogdon, he's 23 years old. You see his ceiling. This is him. He is who he is. He's good. He's fine. He is an NBA level player, no doubt about it. He is not a creator. He is not going to be able to create for you in the playoffs. He's not going to be able to create dynamic plays. He's not going to be able to take a 30-point night scoring load. We've seen Bledsoe capable of doing that. If a team wants to take away Giannis, Bledsoe then becomes a second option that you have to account for. It makes the team better, no doubt about it. Are they going to have some time to adjust? Yes. The problem is Jason Kidd. That's the problem. He runs a slow pace. He runs half-court sets. He doesn't actually use speed. Maybe he will now that he has a point guard now that he has a point guard that maybe he can relate to a little bit. He will start to see Bledsoe eye to eye, and they'll start to say, "Let's push the ball, coach." They don't push the ball. I don't know why. You have the most athletic player in the league, but you know, don't know. You're right. Sitting half-court sets, fucking unbelievable. Anyway. That's enough about the Bucks trade. It's good for them. It's going to take some time, but there's going to be flashes where you see Booker be the second option when they take away Giannis. It probably will hurt Giannis's fantasy value though, and I think it will help Chris Middleton ultimately. Pelicans Pacers. Back on track here. 218 total in this one. This one's a nice tight spread. Pacers only favored by one in this one. And public money. People are betting the Pels to cover. I like that. I like that call a lot. I think that's the right move here. I think this is actually a really pretty competitive, good fantasy game. This might be one of my favorite spots just because the usage is so clear. The minutes are so clear. Have a couple injuries on the Pacers side of the ball. TJ Leaf questionable. He wasn't getting a lot of minutes anyway, but Domantas Sabonis out with that calf injury. So, you know, Miles Turner is back, sure. He's going to get plenty of minutes, sure. But really what you're looking at is now you're going to see probably increased usage for Thad Young, increased usage for Victor Oladipo. That's what I'm going to probably project. I don't love Miles Turner against Boogie and AD. I don't mind Thad Young because he's really a stretch four. He's kind of a Kevin Love light type player. Anyway, so, but this is a smash spot for Boogie and the Brow, and we'll talk about it. Chicago at Toronto, 201 total in this one. Interesting. Opened at 198. Total jumped by 2.5 points. I thought that was pretty interesting. And 62% of bets are on the Bulls to cover. I mean, the way that they've been playing lately certainly seems like they could cover 10.5 points. I don't know. I mean, I think Toronto's defense is very, very good. And if you get a bad quarter from the Bulls, a bad shooting quarter, and Toronto starts to shoot, one of the things the Bulls have benefited from is teams are shooting very poorly against them. I think that you see those statistics start to normalize throughout the season. They've had really good luck with people shooting poorly. Now, that could also be that they're closing out and they're hustling to the ball and they're not allowing a lot of free shots. But we haven't seen this team's defensive identity established. This isn't the Warriors, right, who basically contest all three-pointers and don't let you have any freebies. This is not that team yet. So is it possible that they will regret, or excuse me, that teams will start to hit shots against them? Yes, we've seen Kyle Lowry struggle from the arc recently, and we know DeMar doesn't really shoot the three. So if the Raptors I could see definitely running away with this one, especially if they can get Jonas Valanciunas going, who had a huge game against this team earlier in the season. But again, he's hurt, and he only plays 20 minutes a game. Charlotte versus New York. This will be actually be a fun game as well. 209 total here. Knicks are favored by one at home. It opened, interestingly enough, Hornets opened as favorites, and this line flipped in favor of the Knicks. Must have gotten a lot of money for that to flip, because there's only 50% of spread bets on the Knicks, 57% of spread bets, which must have been just a heaping pile right there instantly. And that's really interesting. It's a good spot then to be interested in the Knicks. And I think if you're interested in the Knicks, you have to be interested in THJ on the wing. I think it's a good spot for Tim Hardaway Jr. I think it's a good spot for the Charlotte guards as well. I don't love the matchup for Kristaps. LA versus San Antonio, 202 total. Not the Lakers, the Clippers. 202 total in this one. Spurs favored by three. Injury update in on this is Danilo Gallinari out for the Clips here. So that's an interesting thing. If anything, you're probably going to see Wesley Johnson slide into the starting lineup. Do you like him against the Spurs? I don't know. And then you're going to see probably increased usage for Blake. Now, Blake against the Spurs, pace down game, low scoring game. He's not priced too badly, but I would really, actually, what I'm hopeful for is his price will drop even more. And then we'll get him in a spot where he's even closer to 8K. He's at 8.4 right now, which is a pretty solid price. Yeah, no injuries of note on the Spurs side of the ball. So just keep an eye on what the Clippers say that they're going to do for their starting five. Nets at Nuggets, 231 total. This total has dropped by two. People are hammering the under, and I kind of agree with that. Why? Nets are coming off of a back-to-back. Where they just played all their starters, full minutes. They lost RHJ to a hip injury. And they're going to elevation. I can't think of a worse situation for a team. Total letdown spot. I'd never forget. I saw this with Boston last year. They came from Golden State. Remember that Golden State game? They played that great Golden State game down the wire. And late in the season last year, and then they came to Denver, and it seemed like, wow, this is going to be a real fantasy goodness, low defense, high pace, everything, off the back-to-back, and it was a total letdown. They just got smashed. Why? I mean, it makes sense. You're playing in one of the hardest arenas to play in the NBA because of the elevation, and you're coming off a back-to-back. Their legs are just going to be tired, and then they play a really fast pace, but I think this is a smash spot for the Nuggets. I think that they are... they've played poorly they played terrible in that last game against the Warriors, and this team has issues, but I don't think they're going to have issues with the Nets tonight. 76ers versus the Jazz, 205 total in this one. Jazz are favored by 6.5, and that line is moving towards the Jazz. Jazz are coming off a rough little stretch here, but I do think that they are going to be going to right the ship. They had a couple days off. The problem is you got Joe Johnson out with a wrist, okay, which, you know, should open up some more minutes, I guess, for Jingle Bear and Donovan Mitchell. Really usage for Donovan Mitchell on the second unit. We've seen him really, really pop. His price is above Rodney Hood's right now, and he's actually been closing games. Hood starting and then Mitchell finishing just because he's been playing really well. But they did get blown out by Houston, so don't get too twisted by those numbers on Mitchell. I mean, blowout situations in the last one. And they got roasted by Toronto, too. But I really like this spot for Utah. Joel Embiid out, resting. He will rest tonight. Jared Bayless also out. So you're going to have a little bit more usage for the 76ers. Now, how do you want to attack the Jazz? That's hard. You know, how do you attack the Jazz, especially coming off of rest at home? You have to think that they're going to kind of right the ship. I prefer the Jazz side of this one. 76ers allowing plenty of scoring on different parts of the floor. OKC versus Sacramento. OKC, heavy favorites in this one. They opened at 11-point favorites, and for some reason people believe the Kings can cover that. I don't. I don't believe the Kings will cover 11 points. In fact, I think that this is an easy bet on Sacramento. Or excuse me, OKC. Total has gone up though in this game. Weird. The game total has gone up, but the team totals have gone down. Very strange. Very, very strange. This kind of feels like it has a possible blowout written all over it. OKC has been able to really, really dominate teams that struggle offensively. You know, if you don't have a high quality creator on your team, I think, you know, we saw this with Boston and Sacramento. It was over by halftime. The quality of the defense is suffocating. And if you don't have a high quality offensive piece, like, you know, they had Damian Lillard go ham on them the other night. If you don't have that, then that's really, really difficult. So possibly a great spot for some Thunder, but you got to wonder about starters minutes and a possible blowout. Memphis versus Portland, 203 total in this one. Total is dropping. Portland favored by 3. We've got Gasol probable. He's had that ankle. He is probable. Chandler Parsons coming off some rest. He's probable. We have some value here on Memphis. I think it's probably Mike Conley, to be honest with you. Mike Conley and Tyreke Evans. That's where I'm really interested in attacking kind of on the wings here for Portland. If they're going to stay in this, they're going to need plenty of scoring to keep up with CJ and Dame. So I think it's probably an interesting game. It's probably a pretty tight game. And a decent fantasy return if we can find the right price points for some of these guys. All right. Hey, before we go too much further into the player breakdown, I want to talk to you guys about Harry's Razors, harrys.com/lineup. That's where you want to go, just like Lineup Logic. That's where you want to go if you want to get a free trial from harrys.com. Listen, I said this on the Friday show. I'm a Harry's guy. I've been a Harry's guy for literally as long as I can remember. I trust it. I use it every day. It's my razor. It's been my razor for the last 5 years. The blades are top notch. The actual razor handle, top notch. The service is top notch. The pricing is top notch. It's just the easiest way to have a high quality razor in your house without having to, you know, debate the 500 million potentially progressive, interesting options in the drugstore. Harry's is the move. So go to harrys.com/lineup. You're going to sign up for a free trial. And listen, you're going to get a razor. You're going to get a blade. You're going to get a blade case. You're going to get shave gel for free. All you have to do is pay the shipping. They're going to send you this stuff for free. Just to be very clear, that's free. No dollars. Just the shipping. You sign up, line up. harrys.com/lineup. So get over there, check it out. Great stuff. I'm a Harry's guy. I don't know what else to say. That's the razor that I use. All right, let's jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. All righty. Point guard. Well, studs. Sorry, start in the top. Studs here. Point guard. It's Russ, obviously, versus Sacramento. Yes, obviously, you want to attack Russ in a smash spot. The problem is that I love his price. I hate this matchup. Not because I think Sacramento's good. I think Sacramento's bad. I think it's a 28-29-minute night for Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo. I don't think they have to really do that much in this situation. They've been on the West Coast. They had a night off after the Portland game, which was a tight one, but I think they'll be fresh coming into Sacramento. Their defense should do the work for them in this spot. There's really nothing. So you have to ask yourself, does Russ score 50? And I just don't know if that's the case. I mean, he hasn't really been asked to do that very often. And, you know, he had a nice game against Portland. Obviously, down the stretch, he really picked it up. But that was without Carmelo, and they made a nice little run in the fourth quarter. You know, you take Carmelo's usage out of this game, and then, yeah, okay, fine. But he's still there. Carmelo's there. Paul George is there. And I think that those guys have a little bit more of an interesting opportunity to hit value here. I think you're going to probably see very similar range of outcomes from all of these guys. You know, somewhere between 30 to 40 points for all three of them. And in which case, if you know, that, you know, and Russ obviously has the most access to peripherals. You know, 40 plus points for Russ, you know, he's going to be doing the scoring. He'll get you the rebounds and the assists, which adds to his ceiling over a guy like Carmelo, obviously. The problem is you're paying for a guy who could really, you know, go for 39 fantasy points and be done. And be out of there. And that concerns me, I think, on a 10-game slate, because there's studs that are probably going to score more, could score, you know, 20 more points than Russ has to in this situation. So Russ, not my favorite here. And as far as the other point guards go, high price point guards, you know, Dame is in a good spot, but that's a high price for Dame. I prefer Dame in the low 9K range. I prefer him in that spot against Memphis, especially. You know, we know that they're not a perfect off defensive team this year. You know, like they were last year, they're not perfect, but they're certainly not bad. They're well above average. You know, sorry, what am I talking about? They're ranked third in the league in defense. So defensive efficiency, and Portland ranked fourth in the league. I think this is a very, very slow game. I think it's a competitive game, but I think that this game really does lend itself more towards a defensive battle between Conley and Dame. These teams profile very similarly. I mean, think about it. Think about the matchups that you have there. So interesting, but I'm going to wait for his price to come back down before I go there. At shooting guard, you really don't have anybody up there. You have Bradley Beal against Dallas. I don't mind Brad Beal, 8,500, though. You've seen his price go up. I think Dallas, the issue with Dallas is going to be the pace. They're not a good defense. They're going to let Bradley Beal score, but you could definitely see, due to pace, Bradley Beal slow down here and, you know, go for in the 30s, which you at 8,500, you just, that doesn't work. You can't do that. I don't think Brad Beal is in a perfect spot here. He's always a good tournament option, but I want Brad Beal in the high profile 38-minute game where, you know, down the stretch, he's just going, you know, he's lasers. That's what I want, Brad Beal. I don't want him in this matchup. Small forward, very, very interesting. It's LeBron versus Giannis. Almost the exact same price point, 11-7 and 11-8, I believe, on FD. 11-7, 11-8 for the two of them. Oh, no, excuse me, 11-7, 11-3. So, like, from a basketball perspective, LeBron owns this matchup. He's 4 of 5 in this matchup. They played, you know, a number of times. He's beat them in the last 4 times in a row. He beat them every time last year. And he beat them earlier this season. Now, Giannis came out and smashed, absolutely smashed his first time out. 34 points, 8 and 8 with 3 steals and a block. That was when he was doing 60 points a game. Cleveland's defense is terrible, and there is no doubt in my mind that Giannis will certainly be an interesting value here tonight. Problem is we've seen teams, how they've been playing him. We've seen teams slow him down. We know that he has been, you know, more in the 40 to 50 range of outcomes right now. Is this a 60-point spot? Because at 11-7, you need 60 points. That's a fact. And you know, you'll take 55, but you would prefer 60, you know. On the opposite side, the Milwaukee defense is just as bad. I mean, they ranked 26th in defensive efficiency to Cleveland's 30th. Braun went for 24, 5, and 8 with a steal and a block. Listen, I mean, he's been on fire because, you know, he has that angry Arthur fist, which honestly, like, I love LeBron. I'm getting tired of trying to defend the like pettiness. It's just, come on, man. Like, just play. Stay off social media and just play. Like, don't give me this Arthur fist because, you know, because the Celtics beat the Hawks and you couldn't. Don't give me that. Kyrie went off. You know, like, get over it. It's hard to defend. I love the guy, but that's kind of hard. I don't know. What do you want me to do with that? You're a 33-year-old man. Like, let's move on. I think the advantage with Braun is he's slightly cheaper. And so, you know, if he gets you 50-50 plus, you're not as upset about that. $400 is a lot when you're, you know, when you're considering the margins on your studs. It's a lot. I mean, it not seem like a lot, but like the difference between 4.5 and 5X right there, you know, that makes a difference. So I honestly, I can't make up your mind. I think you guys, you have to love Giannis in this situation. I would really love Giannis if he was at home. I mean, I think that that's the tiebreaker for me, right? What is it? What's the story? Giannis is a beast at home in Milwaukee. Braun is at home this time. Okay, he's been at home. They have a nice little home stand here. He's playing angry. They lost to the Hawks, which is ridiculous. He owns Giannis. They have a way of shutting him down. I mean, last year in February, Giannis scored 9 points on 13 attempts against this team. He totally got shut out. And I don't know if it's just the physicality of LeBron, it's the ability, the athleticism, but that would make a lot of sense if it's basically the only person in the league who physically can guard him beyond Kevin Durant. So it's an interesting spot, but I feel like Anthony Davis is a better investment, okay? And here's why. Same price as Giannis. He's playing the Pacers. They have no Leaf. They have no Sabonis. They're very thin in the front court. You're going to see Al Jefferson, Miles Turner, and Thad Young. Indiana allowing 50 points per game in the front court. In general, they're allowing a line to the front court. Listen to this. To front court players. 66, 32, and 10. So let's pretend Dante Cunningham is good for 4-2-1, okay? 4-2-1, okay, fine. Let's split that 60-30, straight down the middle, okay, for Boogie and AD. We're talking about, you know, north of 30 points, 12 double-digit rebounds for both of them. This is one of the worst front court defenses in the league. You saw Joel Embiid do well against them. I'm into it. I'm really into it. They just feel so much more safe than Giannis against LeBron for me. And it feels like this game is really going to be competitive and there's not going to be a ton of defense. Like I just think that these guys are a solid investment every single night. So AD or Boogie, my guess is AD gets Miles Turner just from a frame perspective. I don't think Miles Turner can guard him. And I think from a size perspective, Boogie is probably going to see Thad Young just because he's a little bit stronger, a little bit heavier, and probably then Al Jefferson off the bench, who is a more traditional center. Boogie can shred those guys. I mean, listen to these numbers, okay? So last year twice, by the way, Anthony Davis against Miles Turner last year twice. One game he left after 23 minutes. Classic. The other game, he went 35-15 with 5 blocks. What? So, okay, that's great. And I'm going to talk about Boogie in 1 second. I do want to talk about Kristaps because Kristaps is the GOAT right now. And I'm sorry, excuse me, I misspoke. He's the unicorn. He's fucking awesome. Kristaps highlights on Twitter. I look forward to them every single night and I watch them all. He's the best, but this is not my favorite matchup. Guys, I've talked about how Charlotte is just pestering you. The way to attack Charlotte is on the wings. It is not to attack. I mean, we saw Andrew Wiggins. We saw Jeff Teague have really nice games. And we saw Karl Anthony Towns fall flat on his face against Charlotte last weekend. Porzingis, he's just been unbelievable. 31% usage rate. I mean, he that's higher than fucking Giannis. He scored nearly 50 fantasy points per game. He's still not 10K. Hopefully, this is like the Blake thing. Hopefully he kind of has a so-so game here. 38 points, my guess, like 40. And his price goes down a little bit, so you can go back to him. The real issue is the Hornets defense just kind of good at a couple things that are obnoxious that aren't going to allow him to go ceiling on you. their top 10 in fewest fast break points allowed. They're a phenomenal rebounding team. They are top 10 in top half of the league in points in the paint allowed. So, I mean, like, the defense is effective at doing that. I've never had to say, you know, top 10, bottom 10, whatever. They're good at limiting fast break points. They're good at limiting points in the paint. They have a real rim protector. You know, he could get going with the three ball, but I really do think that this matchup sets up a lot better for Tim Hardaway Jr., and we'll talk about that. And they're very average in pace, and they're very average in defensive efficiency. I mean, this team is a pretty good unit as far as, you know, defense. You know, the offense is always the question. If they can't score, then they're not going to win, but the defense is usually decently solid and average. Boogie versus Indiana. This is a no-brainer here. Listen, I just mentioned Anthony Davis's line. I'll just let y'all be aware of what young DeMarcus did last year against the Pacers. Two games, 51 points, 24 rebounds, 15 assists. He's an assist machine. Can we talk about that? Boogie leads the Pelicans in assists. Like, Drew Holiday is close, but Boogie's getting up there. Four blocks, by the way, four blocks. So you are looking at 25, 12, and 7 from Boog Monster with two blocks. This is a great spot for either one of these guys. If you had to pick one, I'm picking Davis because you guys know how I feel about power forward. I usually think it's a mess. I don't like power forward, and I think that center, there's always a lot more flexibility. If you can win your center position on FanDuel, specifically you win your center position, you have a massive advantage on the field because ownership gets more spread out. I think you win the center position and you get rewarded for stuff like blocks. You get rewarded for, you know, that kind of thing. So that's important to me. But I do like Boogie in this spot. I love him. And I think that they're easier to, they're not necessarily going to score more than Giannis and LeBron. Let's be very clear about this. Giannis and LeBron are in a great game. Brutally bad defense on both sides. They could both go for 60. I'm not going to discount that. What I am saying to myself is who is easier to project? You see what I mean? Who is easier to project? I think it's easier to project that Boogie or Davis goes bananas. And where, you know, God, if I invested in Giannis and he does, if Bron just kind of shuts him down and takes him out of the game, that's going to scare me, you know? Or like if LeBron gets in there and all of a sudden Kevin Love decides that tonight's the night and, you know, scores 25 points, that's annoying, right? Whereas Anthony Davis and Boogie are it. And I think the nice thing about this is they can't guard the wings. I mean, New Orleans cannot guard the wings. And so, Depot and Bojan Bogdanović are going to have a field day. Like, I love them in this spot. They are going to have a field day. The twos and the threes against the Pelicans have been a thing. So I'm definitely interested in this game. It feels like a very tight spread, you know, very, very, very much like a good spot. But, you know, hey, LeBron and Giannis are in a good spot too. So use your judgment, young man. In the grout section here, there's five guys. There's like four or five guys in the 7K point guard range that are really all in good options. Okay, Kyle Lowry, 7,500 versus Chicago. He just got tossed. He's going to come back. He needs to take more shots. He's been taking more shots. He just hasn't gotten to fall. We've talked about this. So eventually, Kyle Lowry is going to have a great shooting night, 25-point night. You want to be on it. The Bulls, you know, the thing about them, I said this, they limited shooter effectiveness, but this is kind of a chicken or an egg. Are they getting lucky in the first 10 games of the year, or are they actually closing out and really challenging shooters? I'm not really sure. The issue that I have is that we saw this game earlier in the year. Toronto demolished them early, and then, you know, that was it. And I think that that's what concerns me in this spot. Kemba versus the Knicks, love this spot. Terrible point guard defense. Kemba is their offense leader in team usage, scoring, minutes, PER, everything. Knicks allowing 25, 5, and 11 to the point guard position. They rank 25th in DVP. The one thing that I really, really like about this spot is Kemba at the Garden. Why do I like Kemba at the Garden? Because I love Big East basketball and I love UConn guards. Just soft spot. Full disclosure, I love UConn guards. I'm a sucker for them. So let's go to all UConn lineup in here. We'll get Rudy Gay. We'll get Kemba. We'll get Jeremy Lamb. It's all there, baby. Let's go. In all seriousness, he actually smashes in the Garden. Twice last year, he went for 49 or more in the Garden. 49 and 55. One game, he went for like 37. But at 7,400, Kemba can do that. And this is not a very good point guard defense. You're going to get Jared Jack. You're going to get Frank Nicolatina, whatever his name is, the young fella, French Frank. They're just not that great of a point guard defense. So I think that this is a good spot for Kemba there. I don't mind D'Angelo against Denver. No Rondé on the started unit. Terrible point guard defense. We've seen his price go down for some reason. I think it's just because of the bigger slate. But he continues to hit 40 points. The question that I have is he going to see Gary? That's a problem. He struggled in the last game against Denver. Why? I didn't watch it because who watches fucking Brooklyn-Denver on a Sunday afternoon? But, I mean, come on. Like this, there's a couple things that I could do beyond watch Brooklyn and Denver on League Pass on a Sunday afternoon. Namely, watch football. Second, you know, learn how to knit. He shot terribly in that game, though. That's the thing. He shot terribly. 2 for 11. So that could be Gary. And he got his limited, I think, because he was cold. You know, he had like 28, 27 minutes. He just hasn't. Gary's defense, we know he has the size. We know he has the pedigree. He had a decent defensive real plus minus last year. This year, his defensive rating is kind of meh. It's kind of a wash. Like, he has not really been a plus player. He's just kind of been a wash. But he's good. I mean, he's good. I don't love the thing I don't love about. I love D'Angelo's price. I don't love the back to back going into Denver. It's just weak legs, no wind. You know, this is their when they play. They play well. They played that New York game. They played that LA game on, was it Friday night or was it Saturday night? I think it was Saturday night, wasn't it? So this is their third and four. You get the back-to-back going into elevation. It feels like a weak legs moment. I don't know. That just scares me. Maybe I'm overanalyzing and you just go, Sean, come on, the price is too good. In which case, I completely agree. Rubio, I love Rubio. I mean, 7,100 for Ricks at home. Coming off a rest, Philadelphia, no Joel Embiid. Philly is allowing a ton of backcourt scoring. In fact, some of the most per game, 52 points per game. The shooting guard has done a lot of that damage, so we're definitely interested in Donovan Mitchell and Rodney Hood. However, we know that there's really no other backup guard for Rubio. If he gets his full minutes here, he should be able to do plenty of scoring. Don't get fooled by his box scores in the last two games. This is beautiful because they depressed his price. He was at an 8K price point, you know, last week and playing very, very well. And Kyle Lowry, you know, they got blown out by Houston. He went to the bench. Kyle Lowry is a dog. He's good. They struggled with Toronto as well in that situation. So, I mean, no question in my mind that this is a bounce back for Rick. Very good spot at 7,100. That's too cheap. He feels like a very solid cash game option here. At shooting guard, I don't know why his price went down. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. FanDuel's pricing algorithm just makes things too easy sometimes, but it whatever. And he's cheap on DraftKings too. Victor Oladipo at New Orleans. I mean, I'm going to keep playing him. You know, New Orleans struggles with the wings. We know that. The DVP says they're good at the shooting guard. Okay, they're ranked 3 in DVP to the shooting guard, but they're ranked 30th against the small forward. This is where the complication comes in, because you know you don't have strict one-on-one, man-to-man defense, right? You don't have that. So what do you have here? You just have a mediocre defensive team on the wings. We know Depot is probably their highest scorer, highest usage player, allowing New Orleans allowing 45, 12, and 13. No Sabonis. I think there's more usage. There's more minutes here. I think this game is tight. I think you're going to see Depot go get 36 minutes here on the starting unit. I don't mind Gary Harris here either. I think he's in an interesting spot. I think Gare Bear at 5,700 against Brooklyn. He struggled. You know, he's been up and down. You know, we've seen him have some good games. Obviously, he's a little, all of these Denver guys are hard to trust. Like, the matchup is phenomenal, but they're all very, very hard to trust. You know, I'm very nervous about, I like Paul Millsap, but I'm nervous about him. I like Jokic, but I'm definitely not going to play him at 9,500. He's too expensive for what he's been doing. You know, and does Gary Harris not do the scoring? And is it Will Barton? Because Will Barton's the exact same price. Like, that's what you worry about here in this situation, that it's Will Barton who takes the usage, you know, or is it Wilson Chandler? It's very hard to project what happens in Denver because their rotations are Malone. Malone will change the rotations all the time. And that is difficult to feel good about. But, you know, listen, he's averaged about 24 fantasy points when he's at home coming off a rest. So I think that there's a floor here, you know, for Gary on the starting unit, 30 minutes, 20 points right there. I think that's your floor, right? But you want more than that. You want, you know, nearly 30. You want over 25 here from Gary, nearly 30. You want 30, ideally. But you like the pace. You like the bad defense from Brooklyn. That's all working in his favor. You need the shot attempts, though. You know, and if the front court has a massive advantage in this situation, you may not see Gary get a lot of shot attempts up. You need him to take 15 shots, and if he doesn't take those, then he's not going to score, and they could win anyway. So, weird situation there. There's two other guys that I really like at 6K price, the 6K price range, and that's Tyreke Evans and Tim Hardaway Jr. I think Tim, you know, they're both just priced right where they're supposed to be for their minutes, for their usage. They've been scoring really, really well. Jeremy Lamb, too. I mean, at 5,900, Jeremy Lamb is in a good spot here, too. So no problem with either one of these guys. In fact, Jeremy Lamb might be an even better pivot off of Gary Harris at 5,900. I mean, we saw he went nuts against the Spurs the other night. Yeah, and I mean, you know, the other guy you got to pay attention to in this situation is you got to pay attention to CJ McCollum at 6,800. I mean, that's just kind of crazy for a guy with 25% usage on the first unit, nearly a fantasy point per minute, you know, not quite a fantasy point per minute, but nearly a fantasy point per minute. He is certainly in a good spot. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of, I think that's where I'm at for the shooting guard range, that, you know, Depot to Harris range. I like that. Depot, McCollum, Lamb, and THJ. THJ, for some reason, small forward on DraftKings. I'm not really sure why, but he is. So I think there's a lot to like here. Okay, moving on to small forward, as I just mentioned. Paul George versus Sacramento. This is not a great matchup as far as DVP is concerned, but there's a lot to this, okay? So the first is Bogdan Bogdanovic is not going to guard Paul George. He's good. The kid is going to be good at some point. He's not going to guard Paul George. It's not going to happen, okay? If Evan Turner gives up 50 fantasy points to him, then Paul George can deal with Bogdan. The price does not allow a lot of room for error, though. At 7,800, you need him to go for 40 points. And Sacramento's defense is bad. OK's defense is very good. OKC's defense, you know, he's been a fantasy point per minute guy. If I knew he was going to be in a competitive game down the stretch, get 36 plus minutes, then I would say let's lock and load because this price is too cheap. You know, Paul George below 8K is one of those guys that you always put on your list. I think it's always there because you know what his potential, his ceiling is. It's definitely, definitely there. However, he's going to need those minutes. And the last couple times when they've beaten up teams, he's only gotten about 28 to 30 minutes. He's not going to get all those minutes. He needs 20 shots to hit value. And he leads his team in three-point percentage, which is really nice, actually. And I'll talk about that when I talk about Carmelo. But I think I may pay down at small forward. One of those guys, two guys, though, that I think in this range that are very interesting for cash games, Damari Carroll, Harrison Barnes, just stalwarts for minutes and usage on their team. Their teams are going to need them. Damari Carroll is going to have no RHJ. He's the biggest usage differential on this team with no Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. That's good. You know, the question is Price coming off the back-to-back for him, you know, in that game against Phoenix. I'm not really sure how many minutes he played. Let me see how many minutes he played. Let me see. He only had 25 fantasy points, but he played 33 minutes. So, you know, that's pretty big deal. But coming off the back-to-back in the Orlando-Cleveland back-to-back, that didn't hurt him. He played well in that game. So, you know, I don't know. The problem is he didn't play against Denver in that game. That was when he had an ankle. It's not a great defense, and they're going to need him to contribute. So I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting spot for sure, no doubt about it. And Harrison Barnes. I mean, this is apparently the way you attack Washington is at the small forward position. Now, he's not LeBron, but he is their highest scorer. And Barnes has been, you know, he's been fine. He's had some really big games. In fact, that game where I liked him against New Orleans, he had a really nice game. He had a solid game there. And so, you know, in a plus matchup, Barnes can really be excellent. I mean, and we're going to see the floor from him. At 6,200, you're really not, you know, you're asking Harrison Barnes to do what Harrison Barnes does. You're asking him to get out there, set a floor of at least 22 fantasy points, and then, you know, go from there based on how many minutes he's going to get. And, you know, the more minutes he gets, the more fantasy production he's going to have. And, you know, he's good for over 30 in the right situation. You know, over 40, I don't know. I mean, you know, he did a really nice job against New Orleans, but I think he's probably going to get Otto Porter defense. So, and Otto Porter is pretty good. I mean, I think this is kind of a very solid matchup for the two of them because what does Otto Porter do? Otto Porter just has to take Harrison Barnes out of this game, and that's it. There's really not a lot of options there. There's not a lot of other scoring options. So I think that can kind of reduce his effectiveness in this situation. Power forward, Carmelo, 6,900. Nice. Versus Sacramento. I tried to find the split to say what does Carmelo do after he gets disrespected by a referee. I couldn't find that on NBA.com. The shitty suspension split. I don't know. If you guys have the link, let me know what the link says. He's very interesting here. He's the cheapest beyond Steven Adams. He's the cheapest of the scorers in OKC. And between him and Paul George, I think I'd probably prefer him. He's $900 cheaper. And they're scoring about the same amount every single night. Now, you know, about a fantasy point per minute. Sacramento, this is the interesting thing about Sacramento. This is what makes Paul George and Carmelo very interesting. They rank 27th and 29th in three-point attempts and three-pointers made this season. Melo needs 34 points to hit value. Now, he smashed in a game against the Bulls earlier this year. 21 points, hit 5-for-9 from behind the arc. If they can get him to shoot, they get that arc, he's going to shoot. But Paul George takes just as many attempts. He's taking like 8 a game. So these two are really where I want to be in this game. And I think Carmelo has the edge just from a price perspective. Problem is he doesn't have to do a lot of peripherals. He, you know, he had one or two good rebounding games. He doesn't have to, though. You know, and with Steven Adams in a plus matchup as well, I just don't know how much rebounding he will have to do. We know he may not get 30 minutes. That's complicated. Even in that smash spot against the Bulls, he got 29 minutes. He scored 21 points. He looked great. He only had 30 fantasy points. Because he just didn't have to add the peripherals. He didn't have to. And if you don't add the peripherals, then you're just looking at a pure scorer, and you have to get lots of points. And so even if he scores 20, you're still 15 points off of value there, and you got to get it, you know, what? You got to get 10 assists? You're not going to get 10 assists from Carmelo. You know, you're probably not going to get that many steals or blocks either. Paul Millsap, interesting, 7,400. You know, he's going to be against a weak defense. It's, you know, in a great spot. He's 7,400. The problem has been his performance, not the spot that he's in. This is a great spot, but his performance has been brutal. He had a great game against Brooklyn, though, last time out. He's just so inconsistent. Between him and Jokic, they just haven't figured it out. I mean, the two of them just cannot get this together and get a game on the same page. I mean, he, you know, is he in a great DVP spot? Yes, no doubt. And last time out against Brooklyn, he went for 42 fantasy points. He absolutely smashed. I mean, if he does that tonight, that's plus 6S. Okay, and it was nice to see him do well against, you know, he did well against Toronto, he did well against Miami. So it feels like he's trending in the right direction, but we've seen, you know, he just came out against Golden State and struggled mightily. But that's Draymond, that's not, you know, that's not whatchamajiggy. So I think it's a great spot. I think Millsap will be very popular. I think it's fair to say that he should be okay. From a minutes perspective, you know, when they are in it and winning games, Malone gives him minutes. He gives him 30 minutes. You know, when they're out, but when they get blown out, he doesn't get the minutes. And against Brooklyn, he got 36. So, you know, as long as they aren't blowing out Brooklyn, he should be in a good spot. The problem is this team's propensity to get blown out. So I think Millsap is definitely in play, and I think you're going to see a lot of people go to him. I have no problem with that. And I mean, he does have 6X in his future because of, you know, in his range of outcomes because of that price. At center, I love Rudy Gobert. You guys know I'm a Gobert guy, so if you're not a Gobert guy, go ahead and turn this off. But versus Philly with no Embiid, there's really not anybody in the middle that can keep up with Gobert. It's going to be Rashawn Holmes and Amir Johnson. Come on now. Let's go. Remember last year, down the stretch when Embiid left, it was centers versus Philadelphia. That was like the starting point in February and March. It was like, okay, who's playing Philadelphia? Okay, who's their center? Okay, great, I'm playing him. You know, like it was 5X guaranteed. He's 8,100, and that's not a really my favorite price in the world, but we've seen the ceiling. And the ceiling for Gobert comes from the fact that he is one of the best peripherals guys out there. The rebounds, the blocks, the steals, the everything. And you know what's great? Guess who allows some of the most blocks in the league? The 76ers. Let me see if I can find the number here for you. Yeah, okay, block rate, 6.9%. They allow 6 blocks per game. Utah gets 6 blocks per game. Let's just say you get 4 blocks from, let's just say you get 4 blocks from Rudy on top of a 10-10 line. 12 value. Almost value. Oh, fuck. Almost value. 34 points. You know, he's not quite there, but this guy has a ceiling, and this team is not good without Embiid. In fact, I looked at their on-off. Without Embiid there as a rim protector, their block rate goes through the floor. It goes down like 4 points. They're phenomenal with him on the floor as a team block rate. It's like 9%. But then it goes through the floor down below 5%. And their offensive rating, the opponent offensive rating, excuse me, jumps to 113 without Embiid on the floor. So clearly, even though he may not be a plus defender via some metrics, his presence is enough to anchor the back line of that defense, and I think he is a game changer for them in this situation, which is why I really, really like some Utah guys. I mean, it's just, this is a Utah team that's just got 2 tough losses. I just don't see them losing again. I think they come out very focused tonight to get a win. Quinn Snyder has a good way of getting to that team and making sure, you know, that they play well. That was an embarrassing loss to Houston. I just don't see it happening again. I see them coming out and playing really, really strong here. So I like Gobert in this situation to get back on track. And listen, there's a correlation between Gobert's performance and this team winning. When he performs, they win. So definitely a good idea to get him involved. Steven Adams versus Sacramento, terrible against the center. We've seen it happen before. The issue that I have is Steven Adams just disappears. Steven Adams is like a ghost at times. He didn't even try to defend Nurk the other night. I have no idea what's wrong. Sometimes Steven Adams just doesn't show up. And when he does, he's got 40-point potential. When he doesn't, he might get you 13. So keep that in mind. He's in a good spot. He should get 30 minutes. The nice thing about him is he probably won't lose minutes because he's kind of his minutes are pretty stable anyway. You know, they don't play him at the same minutes level that they play those other guys. So should be a good spot for him. All right, bargain time, 5'5 and below. Obviously, you got Jamal Murray and Manuel Mudiay here. I don't trust either of them. I don't trust Mike Malone. I don't know who's going to get the minutes. If you want to go with one of them, go with Mudiay just because he's cheaper, or you go with Murray because he has more talent. Fuck, I don't know. I don't mind Frank Nicolatina versus Charlotte. He's starting to get some minutes, and this kid is some interesting stuff. I mean, he had a couple steals the other day. He can get rebounds. He's long. He's very interesting. He's only 3,700. If he gets 20 minutes, you have to think that he's going to be able to contribute. And we'll see. I mean, he could start to take over this starting job. You want to be early to that party, not late. Shooting guard, Donovan Mitchell and Rodney Hood, they suck. The 76ers are terrible on the wings to the shooting guard. A lot of their production is given up to the shooting guard. Problem is these two are in a dead heat for splits, for minutes. If Mitchell is going hot, then they're going to leave him in there. They kind of ride the hot hand here. Rodney Hood is cheaper, so in a great matchup where you know he's going to start, we know he has some talent, he should be able to get what he wants in this situation. I think Rodney Hood is probably a good investment, safe enough floor, 20 points. You're only asking him, that's the nice thing about Rodney Hood tonight, you're only asking him to get you over 20, and we know he can get you 30. Boyan Bogdanovich at small forward and Wilson Chandler, two guys who are priced in the 4Ks who are probably going to get starter type minutes. Chandler, maybe not so much. He's been losing some minutes here and there, but he's cheap and he blew up last time against Brooklyn. If he has a good spot, he knows how to take advantage of it. The problem, like I said, is with Brent Denver, you never know who's going to score. The usage has been so spread out and so hard to project because they just don't really have a very clear identity right now, that you could absolutely get a zero burger from Chandler tonight. I do like Boyan Bogdanovich. I think he is way easier to project. No front court guys means you're probably going to see more usage for him. Great matchup along with Oladipo on the wings. He and Oladipo are two of the better fantasy scorers on this team, aside from Miles Turner, who I don't like his matchup with the bigs down there. I think they're going to clog things up for him, create some issues. So I like Boyan, not Bogdan. Power forward, it's not great, but you have the whole squad, Dario Saric, Amir Johnson, Rashawn Holmes, those guys who are going to be filling in for Embiid. There's going to be, you know, some lineup or some minutes there at the center position for those guys. So it's hard to project just who's going to be useful. I mean, I trust Dario the most. He's 3,800. That's not a bad price. I think he's in a good spot. Problem is, you know, is it a good spot against Rudy Gobert? I don't know that it is. Do you want to use that? Do you want to use guys who may only get each, you know, 19 minutes each and could really struggle with Gobert's presence in the middle? I'm not really sure that I do. Noah Vonleh and Ed Davis are interesting. Al-Farouq Aminu is out. Those guys are 4K and 3-5. They are splitting minutes at the power forward in Portland, so they should be in a good spot here, I think. The only other names, let me look around here. If Trevor Booker plays, he could be interesting because, you know, you have no RHJ and no Jared Allen. I guess Quincy Acey. I don't think that's going to work for me personally. That's about it. That's about all you got. Keep an eye on the injury report. See if anybody else shows up. Thad Young is interesting, but I don't love the matchup and his price. His price is not that great. So should kind of be a stay away from me. At center, by the way, Rolo, that's about it. I don't really want to. I mean, you could go to You could go to Valanciunas. He had a really nice game against Chicago. Problem is Valanciunas hasn't been seeing a lot of minutes. He really hasn't. I mean, he has been seeing about 20 minutes a game, which just is not enough. I mean, that's just, you can't do that. You really can't do that. You can't roster a guy who only gets you know, 20 minutes a game and has a floor of like 7 fantasy points. That's not good. That's not good, Bob. The only other guy, I mean, maybe Norman Powell. I mean, Norman Powell is really the primary go-to shooting guard. We've seen him get nearly 30 minutes in the last couple games against Chicago. I think Norman Powell is in an interesting spot for sure. He's been getting a lot more minutes over CJ Miles just because CJ Miles is not an effective scorer, you know, and he can really pour it in. I mean, we know Norm Powell can, so I don't mind Norm Powell in this situation either. That's about it. Okay, so let's head over to the lineup lock here. Let's figure out how you could throw together a lineup. So, you know, it kind of depends on whether or not you want to do Anthony Davis, Boogie, or Giannis. And I think, you know, oh, I completely forgot this name at value, by the way. Jeremy Grant on OKC. He's been getting like nearly 30 minutes. And been really effective. He's only 4,100 and, you know, scoring a ton. In a bad defensive team like Sacramento, he could be, you know, 25-plus minutes fantasy point per minute guy who scores. I mean, he scores. He plays on the first unit. So I love Jeremy Grant as a good value here, 6X type guy. So let's start with the value plays that I like here. I really like Jeremy Grant. Like I said, power forward. I think he's a great value. I like Bojan Bogdanović at 4'7". He's just not priced properly yet. And I want one value shooting guard. But I don't know if I want one value shoot. If I go to a value shooting guard, it's going to be Rodney Hood. Okay. No doubt. It's a no doubter for me. It's going to be Rodney Hood. I'm going to go here. And then, you know, I have plenty of money all around to spend up on studs. So, here is one way that we can do this. You can go Giannis at the 3 and then maybe Boogie at the 4. And then I need one more value point. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you need a value small forward, power forward, which is easy. That's not there's it's pretty deep today. Value guys, let's call it Vonleh. Let's call it Vonleh at 3,500 or let's call it Dario Saric. You know, 3,800. You feel like maybe Dario probably gets the most minutes and just straight minutes there. Maybe even against Utah, that's not great, but okay, fine. 5,100 then left at shooting guard. You know, not my favorite price point, but you have starters in this range. You have, you know, guys like a guy like a Caris LeVert, not my favorite. Maybe a Chris Dunn. Yeah, not my favorite price point. But by the way, sorry, point guard is Kemba and Ricky Rubio. I really like those two guys. I don't really want to mess. As much as I don't mind the 5K range, like the Jamal Murray, Manuel Moutier, Dennis Smith tier, I don't want to mess with that. And I really do think Rubio and Walker both have 40-point upside tonight. I really think that they're really solid cash game type plays. So, 5,100 at shooting guard, that's fine. I can find somebody to plug in there. Maybe, you know, flex a little bit here at power forward and see if I can go down. If I go down to Vonleh at 3,500, I have 5,400 at shooting guard, which lets me go to, well, I mean, there you go. Donovan Mitchell and Rodney Hood. That's kind of interesting, huh? Yeah, not my favorite move there, but I figure the shooting guard thing out. But this is Giannis and Boogie in the same lineup, which is really nice. Now, if you want to go with a little bit more balanced, the problem with this is that you have two solid point guards, you have value shooting guards and value power forwards. You're punting both of those, and you have a value small forward, but a starter in Bogdanović. So that's nice. You have starters on a lot of these guys, but you don't have a ton of minutes. That's the problem with playing two studs, is you end up not getting as many minutes from all of your positions, which I don't love, because means you have to get guys who are more efficient with their minutes. So let's say I go off of Giannis and I go off of Boogie, maybe I'll go with AD here. Okay. I go with AD in this spot, and I'm going to go upgrade. I'm going to upgrade shooting guard to Oladipo. Okay. And I'm going to upgrade center. I'm going to go to center. I'm going to go to Gobert. And I'm going to go at small forward. I have $5,300 left here. Maybe do a Wilson Chandler. Oof. Tilting. Maybe do a Wilson Chandler. Maybe do a Wesley Johnson. Although Wesley Johnson is equally tilting. He's pretty bad. And that's San Antonio. Not that interested in that. Joe Ingles is interesting, I think, for sure. But then I literally have almost all the Utah starters here. So, you know, you got to play with it a little bit. You definitely got to play with it a little bit. And you can figure out how to do that. But there's two stud options. There's stud plus starters option. I think it's interesting to go with, you know, a stud plus a starter in this spot. And if you want to, the problem is I got to have a Boogie or Davis in my line. I really do. So we'll figure it out. Hey, guys, good luck out there tonight. It should be a fun slate. 10 games. Remember, this isn't the gospel. Use your own ideas. Get out there. And hey, review the podcast, please. It's the best way to help the show. I do a lot. I'll say it. I do a lot of fucking work for this show. Throw a review in there. Thanks. Good luck. I'll see you later for the NFL show.